नरदेवत्मनापनः सुरकार्याचिकीर्षया समुद्रनिग्रहादीनि चक्रे विर्याणि अतः परम्.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist king Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead, Sri Rama, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes, great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with the spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But, puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly reaching the heavenly planet, so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Rama, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife Sita. Of course, Lord Ram came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones, even within this earth, to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatham Vitam Tam Sajivan Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Nomine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshitarine Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
So, welcome to this morning's Bhagavatam class. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I am sitting here with a mixture of nervous trepidation and excitement and sweating buckets, so please be gentle with me today. Okay, so chapter 3 of the first canto is entitled, Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. During last Friday's Bhagavatam class, we heard from His Grace Kartik Chandraprabhu all about the 17th incarnation, Sri Vasudev, Krishna's literary incarnation, who divided the Vedas into several branches and who left us with the Srimad Bhagavatam. We also learned on Friday that Srila Vasudev was known as Trikala Gyan, meaning that he could see the past, the present, and the future, which is how we are able to read about the wonderful pastimes of the Lord today, and of course, the next incarnation that is to come. In addition to that, of course, we were left with the books that Srila Prabhupada left us with and his wonderful purport. He made the literature accessible to us in many languages all around the world in order that we can carry out the work of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distribute this knowledge together with the holy names in every town and every village. And that work, of course, continues today. And I'm very glad to be a part of it. Today, I'm going to try and speak some words that hopefully make sense about the 18th incarnation, Sri Ram. And I hope I don't make a mess of this, but please jump in if I do. Put your hand up. So there's a lot going on in this verse. There's a lot of information about Sri Ram. Firstly, we learn that he was the 18th incarnation. Secondly, we also learn that he appeared as Sri Rama in order to do some pleasing work for the demigods. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes the demigods as the administrators of the universe, who maintain the universe and maintain the balance of order on behalf of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. We also learn that Sri Ram controlled the Indian Ocean and killed the fierce atheistic King Ravana who lived across the sea. So let's start there with Ravana. Ravana, it's a bit like us human beings, only maybe he has superhuman powers. But like us, he just wanted to enjoy the property of the Lord, as if it was his own. He even wanted to build, Srila Prabhupada tells us in the purport, and if you read the Ramayana, you'll find the detail there, of course. He wanted to build this staircase to heaven. So, in a feeble attempt to bypass the process of reaching the heavenly planets, without chanting the holy names, without doing any good work, just to enjoy and make his way there like he owned it. He thought he could be omnipotent as God himself. Well, how wrong he really was. Ravana caused much more disturbance to the demigods and the universe. And other than this, he upset the balance of the universe extremely. The demigods were trying extremely hard to maintain and protect this universe. Ravana had this overwhelming desire to take and enjoy Krishna's property for himself, just like a common thief or villain. He was extremely ambitious and he was extremely proud, thinking he could just simply enjoy the resources which the Lord has provided for the benefit of all mankind, entirely just for himself. It's mine. Little did he know, of course, that this greed and this pride of his and his selfish aims would eventually lead to his downfall. And that downfall would happen through the pastimes of Krishna appearing as the 18th incarnation, Lord Sri Ram. In fact, the demigods were at such a loss as to how to deal with Ravana that the Lord himself decided, okay, it's time for me to do something and act and help out my associates, the people, the demigods who are supporting me by carrying out the work that I have set them to do in maintaining this universe. And in appearing as Sri Ram, he carried out some pastimes which would leave us all with some life lessons, which are clearly written in the Ramayana. You know, the universal law of physics, Newton's law, shows us that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. We, of course, have been taught that this is simply just the law of karma, which the Lord had already established. It took so long for scientists to catch up, no? I'll come back to this point about science taking long, so long to catch up in a bit. So one of the Lord's pastimes as Sri Ram was to marry Sitaji. Ravana decided that since he was having everything else, he would also have Sitaji, with a view to enjoying her, all for himself. But one cannot do this. Sitaji is Lakshmi. You cannot enjoy the Lord's property for yourself. We cannot do it, and Ravana could not do it, hard as though he tried. And of course, that would be the straw that broke the camel's back at the end of the day. In the verse, we hear that Sri Ram displayed superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean. As we know from the Ramayana, this was that he built a bridge entirely made of floating stones. And for any cynics out there, at least some of this floating stone bridge still exists. And there is a documentary about this, which I don't know if any of you have seen, but it went around recently on YouTube. But if you haven't seen it, I can send it to you. Just think, if we want to build a bridge today, we have to have so many different contractors, so many different architects, so many different builders and laborers. The Supreme Lord could do it like that. Not only that, he would make the stones float in the water. Now, how amazing is that? Ravana thought he would get away with kidnapping Sitaji for himself, but he was wrong. The Lord had a plan. You know, scientists are baffled by the weightlessness of the bridge, just as they are about why and how the planets float in the air in perfect alignment. Today, scientists confirm that the planets are held together in perfect alignment by way of a mathematical equation. At least as far as our tiny little minds can comprehend, science also tells us that one tiny point or fraction of that alignment, if it's out by one tiny fraction, the whole thing could have disastrous consequences for us all. In other words, the Lord can just say, and one planet can move slightly out by a millimeter, and we are finished. So what could he do to Ravana? Just think about that. We are not capable of these wonders, and nor was Ravana, but he thought otherwise. Look, my point here is that we all know the pastimes of Sri Ram. Ravana thought he could do what he wanted, how he wanted, with whom he wanted, and enjoy whatever he wanted, without the consent or approval of the Lord. He thought he could take over this universe, and he even tried to do so by every means possible, simply because he had a tiny little bit of fame, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. And he was wrong. Ravana, I mean. Everything is possible for the Supreme Lord. Everything and anything. He is the supreme controller, benefactor, and more importantly, he is our kind father. And he will look after his family of man, and beasts, and birds alike. You know, in the Bible, I used to be a Christian minister in case anybody has an interest, but in the Bible, Jesus said to the people who were hungry and listening to him, "Why do you worry about where your food will come from and where your clothes will come from? Just look outside in the fields. Look how the flowers dress themselves. And look how the birds and bees are fed. They have faith. They don't have to worry. If you have as much faith, everything becomes possible. You will be fed. I will feed you. Your Father in heaven will feed you, just as Krishna feeds us. The Lord can make planets float in the sky, stones float in the water. He can provide us with food, water, shelter. But most importantly, he can provide us with love. Krishna loves us as his children. And that is why we constantly chant the holy names, no? Is that why? Yes? We're crying out his name so that we may try never to forget. But without the assistance and aid of our spiritual teachers and masters, we would not know this. Krishna empowered them to pass this information to us. Personalities like Ravana did not want to understand that. They just wanted to enjoy without remembering Krishna, without crying out to our Father. And just like a father hearing his children, the Lord heard the problems and cries of the demigods doing his work in the maintenance of the universe. And just like that caring father, he decided to descend for the 18th time to take care of things and to rid the world once and for all of the shameful Ravana. Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 4.7, it's a famous verse. Please say, if you know the words, Yada yadai dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutyata nam dharmasya tadatmanam smrijayaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. He also says in the following verse, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. And he did this in this pastime to rid us of Ravana and to re-establish those principles of religion and to give us some lessons along the way. Some of those lessons, of course, of Lord Rama's pastimes relate to our pride and our selfishness. Anything is possible for the Supreme Lord, and he can do what he wants. If we listen to the last verse of the Shikshastikam prayers, we say Krishna can do what he likes because he's a debauchee after all. He's the creator and supreme controller of the universe. We can't do this. Anything is possible for the Lord. Once again, think about those planets and the vastness of the creation, even down to our human bodies and how they work. Intricately put together. And each and every one of us is different. So he made things so interesting for us. And yet we still don't appreciate him. Not half as much as we should do anyway. It just goes to show really how insignificant actually we really are in comparison to the Lord. And yet sometimes how important we as individuals think we actually might be. Myself included. Sometimes, yeah, definitely, I have a big head. You know, confession. Ravana was a personality unlike any other. He had much extraordinary power and fame. And yet even he met with his downfall. You know, they say pride comes before a fall. That was one of the lessons that we learned from this pastime, for sure. But it just goes to show, you can't beat the Supreme Lord. He has a plan. The point I'm trying to get to here is that if we try and manipulate nature's resources for our own, if we behave in a way unbecoming of the gift of life that we have been given by the Lord, we too are sure to suffer some adverse reaction. It's inevitable. Hanumanji was a prominent divine personality throughout Sri Ram's pastimes, being the most exalted and devoted servant of the Lord. Hanumanji was a perfect devotee, and he served the Lord selflessly in every and any which way possible. He set an example of devotional service that we should aspire to, but it would be very difficult to live up to those expectations. But what we can do through the teachings that have been given us by Acharya is to try at least and live up to those expectations, even if only a little bit. In the fifth canto, chapter 3, verse 19, Hanumanji sings a beautiful prayer, recites a beautiful prayer with the residents of Kimpurusha, where in this prayer he exemplifies Lord Ram, the 18th incarnation. And Hanuman prays, "Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija mantra, Omkar. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas. You are the foremost of all devotees. You are the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Isn't that beautiful? So we too should aspire to become as devoted as Hanuman to the Lord. The Lord gave us Hanuman as a prime example. I know it's early, but I'm getting close to the end of this, so I'm going to start wrapping up now. In chapter 3 of the first canto, we're presented with the 25 incarnations of the Lord and the work he's constantly doing to look after us. And we're also presented with what is to come next, who is to come next. But of all of this, it ends with the fact, the third chapter ends with the fact that Krishna is the source of all of these incarnations. And that if we recite and talk about his births and activities selflessly and without ulterior motive, we are sure to get relief from our miseries. Remembering these pastimes through the reading of Srila Prabhupada's books, in which we find all the good lessons of life that we need to know, and chanting of the holy names, the two most important instructions given to us by Srila Prabhupada, if we take shelter of Krishna through his holy names, by remembering his pastimes, reading these books, and taking in the lessons that we have been left, then we too are sure to get some relief from these miseries in this life. And maybe in the next life, we'll be a little bit more advanced and go a little bit further towards achieving the aim of going back to Godhead. Thank you for listening. I hope I made some sense along the way. Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki. Shishi Gauri Tai ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.